To all of you online on electronic device, may God bless your homes as we share in his word this morning. Before I start, I want to introduce you to two old and dear friends. My friend Kenny, and known him since I'm 20 years old, and Charlene, all right? I was thinking about Kenny. He told me he was going to be coming. God used Kenny in a very particular way in my reckless and running days before I knew the Lord. Kenny was a witness to me, and he was a faithful witness also. One incident I remember, Kenny had a brother who lived life in a fast and hard way, fast and hard. He was well known in this area. And when the Lord touched him and saved him, he did Christianity in a fast and hard way. He was a great witness for Jesus. And I was thinking, Kenny, you may not remember, but you used to witness, and I used to say some vile things about God. I don't know, you remember that? It was defensive, but he was faithful. Well, they had a little Bible study in the basement of their house. So Kenny invited me and a couple other friends, kept inviting us, and we went one day. And 10 or 12 people in the basement, and everybody would introduce themselves, and if they were Christians, they would give a little testimony, and then maybe, I think it was your brother, would share something from the Word. And it took about an hour. So this particular night I went, I heard the Word. I heard all the testimonies. I met the people. And the meeting was over. And I wasn't impressed by the Word. I wasn't impressed by the testimonies. What I was impressed by was one of the people who was there was a jockey. Rode the horses over here in the Meadowlands. I wasn't concerned about the Word that night or the testimonies. Myself and the friends who I was there with, we wanted to know from him if he had any tips for us at the racetrack. But thank God, Kenny was faithful and God was faithful. And it all came together that one day I met the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. Welcome, Ken, Charlene. All right, what I'd like to do for a short time today is to review a scripture that we visited a while back. Now, at that time, I was not able to finish it, so I always wanted to get back to this, and maybe touch on some things about that. So I retitled this, "It's All in God's Power. We simply need to attend." It's all in his power. Sometimes we do Christianity like we did life. When we're kids, we're amazed by everything. And when we come to know the Lord, we're amazed by his word is alive and he's doing. And then we grow up into our teens and 20s and we're doing everything on our own now. We got power. We got smarts. And we're doing everything on our own. And then we come full circle and we realize that it's all in his power. It's not what we do. It's in his power. He's got everything in control. So I would like you to, if you would, we're going to look at it's all in his power. We need to attend. And if we will attend, we're going to turn to Acts chapter 16. And I'm going to read a few verses from if you're using this Bible here, it's on page 1108, okay? All right, I'm going to read a few scriptures. I'm going to read verse 6. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. But passing Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia, this is now Europe, they had been ministering solely in Asia. Now they're going to move into Europe. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran the straight course to Samothrace, and on the following day to Neapolis. Moving along to verse 25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all doors were opened and everybody's chains were unfastened or fell off. So all in God's power. We simply need to attend. We like I said, sometimes, especially as Americans, the American spirit, you can get things done. We could do things. And in Christianity, it's dangerous to run before in your own power to get done what you need to get done. Now, God does use our talents and our gifts, but we always remember it's in His power and His alone that we are looking at. All right, God uses people. People don't use God. God uses people. And we always have to remember that God uses people who we might not think we would use. In the book of Exodus, God calls Moses to be the deliverer. Moses' response to God was, "Not me, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of tongue, I'm slow of speech. Not me, don't use me. There's gotta be somebody better than me." God's response to him was, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight? Is it not I? Now go, I will help you speak and teach you what you're going to speak." God came, the Midianites had taken over the land, and God came to a man named Gideon, and he said, "Gideon, I want you to go and deliver these people. Defeat the enemy. I want you to do that." His response was, "How can I do that? I'm of the least family in the land, and I'm last in that family. Can't be me." God's response to him was, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel from the Midians." You go in the strength you don't have enough, but go in the strength you have, and I will bring this about. You know, I'm convinced that we're told Samson was a powerful man who could destroy large amounts of people and could kill lions, and I don't think that he was a buff guy. I don't think he was a giant. I think he was a scrawny man that God used with his power, because whenever we read about him doing something, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then he was powerful. And I think we get that message because the Philistines told, what was their name? Ran out of my mind. Delilah. Told her, go to Samson and ask him, where does this power come from? So he wasn't a big, strong guy, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and then he was able to do what was necessary. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. God's economy is so much different than we understand. See, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And I think in this day, in this time, it's contingent upon the church to now stand up in the power of God. We live in a society that is spiraling downward quickly. I work in the, medical field. I'm aware of some things that are happening. And it's not good, folks. We need the power of God. It is okay now. It's just okay to kill 1 million babies a year. Just kill them. There's no moral problem with that. It's okay today to take a 15-year-old girl, convince her that she's a boy, and then they will take her breasts off surgically. That's our society. That's where we live. And we need the power of God to come in a great way. And we like Gideon, we like Moses, need to just go into power that we have and watch as God will begin to move in a great way. We need him in our families to stand up in a great way. We need it in our own lives to come in that great power. May God grant us that in a great way. Special and mighty miracle by the hand of God we saw in the book as we read. An earthquake. Prison shaken. Chains falling off. And people being spared. That's the kind of power we need in our lives, in our churches, in our families today, where prayer and praise are given to God and God moves in a great and mighty way. But may his name be praised. Now, one of the things that's happening is God's people needed to be led by God. Now, up until now, they had been dealing primarily in Asia with the word. And they were very comfortable there. The scriptures tell us the churches were growing. So they're very comfortable there. And now they go back. This is a second journey. Now they go back and they're visiting the churches. But the Spirit of God says, no, you're not going there. I want you to go here. And they said, but we know this. And it's working. Churches are growing. We're doing a good work here. No, you go here. I need you to go here. And it was into Europe that they were going. By hearing and abiding, they begin to make churches in Europe. Now, you remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, one of the last things Jesus said to the disciples was, go into all the world. Start here in Jerusalem, go to Samaria, go to all the world and preach the gospel. And so now God is bringing about that command and giving them the power even to do it. They passed by Derby, Iconium, Lystra. Lystra was the place, if you remember, where the Apostle Paul on the first journey was beaten, left for dead by stoning. But he goes back. He wanted to go back in the power of God. So they're very familiar with this territory. But God says, no, not here, go there. Now, we've had some horrible things that are happening. I just went over a couple of them. We've had some horrible things. COVID came and decimated a lot. But God is still bringing us because it's in His power, and we just need to attend to what He is doing. May His name be praised. We need to do, because if we do it our own way, we're going to get in trouble. 1 Chronicles 20 tells us this. David was king. And it says, in the days when kings should go to war, David stayed in the palace. He was doing it his own way. While he's in the palace, he sees Bathsheba, and his life turns drastically bad. For the rest of his life, he suffers the pains with his family, with his children, that it caused on that night, because he did what he did in his own mind, and he didn't do what he was supposed to do for God. May God help us and keep us, that we will be able to do the things necessary to get His will done in a great way. They were passing through and being received well. They knew everybody there. But the Spirit said no. Verse 6, it's a telling event. They were passing into Galatia, Bithynia, the cultures that they would know, they would be familiar with, ministering in those churches. But verse 6 says that the Spirit told them, no, don't go into Asia. Don't stay in Asia. Go. Now, I wonder if they might have said, Paul, you're sure? We're doing a great work here. Everything's going well. Why are we going over there? We don't know anything over there. But God knows. God knows. And In another place in Acts, we are told that Philip went to Samaria, and he began preaching. And it says his preaching was fantastic. There was many churches, many people. People were getting healed. People. It says the lame, the blind were being healed. Many people were being touched. He had a revival going on that we all look for. And then it says that the Spirit of the Lord said to him, go south, go into the desert. I wonder if he said, well, wait a minute, I got to pray again about that. It can't be, I'm having so much success here. It's working so well here. No, go south. Go south. And you know he runs into the Ethiopian eunuch, shares the word with him. The Ethiopian goes home, and Philip doesn't go back to Samaria. He goes home, and we never read of him again. God has ways that are far away from how we would think. His thoughts are high above our thoughts. His ways are way above ours. And the great thing about it is he shares them with us when we will attend to him, when we will listen, when we will be there. He will attend to us. There's conflict. It says, where was that? It said, vision appeared. And after they came to my agent, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. Previously, it was the Spirit of God who told them not to go. But now they're still trying to go. May God grant me the blessing of not being stubborn in the things of life. They know they're not supposed to go. They're still trying to go. And the Spirit of Jesus has to come and again usher them in the right direction. May God give us that in a great way. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us." Now notice that. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond what we could ever do. But how does it come? From the power that works within us. He's the power, and we attend to his power, and he lifts us in a great way. May his name be praised. The obedient travelers, now obedient travelers, they pass by Mysia, and they come to Troas, and they get the vision to go in. And we see a great work begins to happen as they go in there. Acts 1:8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and as far as the remotest parts of the earth." You will receive power. May we remember as the Bible believers that God shares his power with us. As we wait upon him to do what's necessary. And sometimes it's no, don't do that. Remember when you were growing up, maybe you were 14, 13 or 14 years old, and you wanted to do something, and your father said no. No. And you would get angry and frustrated. Why can't I go? Everybody's doing that. Why can't I go? It's because he had your best interest in mind. And God's the same way. We will go and we will do, but it may not be best. So he says, no. We need to hear the no's from God. Hearing no from God is really a good thing as we're going to continue to serve him. The vision appears to Paul in the night, a certain man of Macedonia, Europe, asking him to come in. And if the scripture says, immediately they made plans to go. Immediately they go. They had no consideration of going there before. But when they know it's from God, it says immediately they got ready to go in, following God's direction. Not to the comfortable place in Asia, but to the new place they knew nothing about. They didn't know the customs. They didn't know the people. They may have had to entertain translators. It's a whole nother another way. Saul of Tarsus, he was a man like your brother. He lived life hard and fast, persecuting the church, killing people. And then when he got saved, he did that hard and fast. He grabbed onto what was there and what was necessary. To the place where God was calling, they go. There was another who found God's calling to be somewhat different. In the midst of great persecution of the Saul and Tarsus, Philip left Jerusalem because of the persecution down to Samaria. If it hadn't been, God knew, and in his power, the great revival began. I wonder if Philip didn't say, wait a minute, I got this wrong. I got this wrong. But he arose and he went. And here's Paul and Silas. And now they make their way to Philippi. And great works begin to happen. The people are listening. The church is established. This is the place where the girl with the spirit of divination, she had a spirit, when, and her owners were making a lot of money off of this girl because she could predict things. And she's following Paul every day saying, these are the men of God. These men are the men of God. And Paul turns around and rebukes her and clears her. He had to do that. He couldn't have her validating who he was in God. That would have brought that spirit into play. They don't get happy with Paul. The people aren't happy. They take him and they bring him into before the people, before the courts. And they threw him into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Not only just the prison, they're in the nasty part of prison. I don't know if you've ever been in a prison around here, but if you go, it's nice and neat and clean. These were not neat and clean. These were nasty places, and their feet were put into stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas do what would be in our best interest to cultivate, to learn, to practice. They begin praying and worshiping God. Now, I think the last time we did this, I used a little analogy. And I like the analogy. We're told in Revelations that 10,000 angels continually worship around the throne in heaven. Continually. The noise must be fantastic. The worship of the angels. And I think the Father said to Jesus, do you hear that? Do you hear that praise? And the angels that are around the throne are saying, what is he talking about? Of course he hears it. Oh, we all hear it. And the Father says, no, do you hear it? He looked out to Philippi. 10,000 by 10,000 angels worshiping. But he saw those two down in Philippi who were worshiping and praying. God hears. God sees. God knows. And I like the way one minister said it. He said, the worship down there was so good that God started tapping his feet to the rhythm. And then an earthquake came. And the foundation was shaken. Earthquake comes. The doors are broken open. The shackles fall off. And they're freed. You remember with Peter. Peter, we touched on this a couple of weeks ago. Peter was in prison. And the church was holding a prayer service for him. For his freedom. And an angel comes, has to slap him on the side. The shackles fall off. And he's ushered out past the guards. There are no shackles. There are no doors that can't be opened. There are no prisons that can hold us with the power of God alive in our life. May God grant us that. Folks, if they hadn't obeyed the word of God, if they hadn't been able to hear the word of God. That's an important thing in this, being able to hear God. If they hadn't obeyed the word of God, there would have been no church in Philippi. It would have been, who knows what would have happened. We would never have received those words. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in Philippians. Pressing onward and upward to the call of God in Christ Jesus. We wouldn't have seen those words. Confident that he who began the work in your life will perfect it to the day of the coming of Jesus. We would have never heard those words. But because two men listened to God, obeyed God, went to the uncomfortable place instead of the comfortable, to the othermost parts of the earth. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. We live in dark times, and it's not going to get any lighter. The scriptures are clear. Things get worse. Now, there are snippets of revival that it talks about, where people will come to him, but the society on whole will not get better. It will get worse as we get towards the end times. So it's contingent upon us to get better. It's contingent upon us to find God and to bring the power of his might into our homes, into our families, into our workplace, that the power of God may come and break the chains, open the doors, and shake the foundations of our society, the people, so that souls may come to know him. We need to be faithful. Kenny was faithful to me. I remember he was faithful to be a witness. He wasn't overburdened, but he was faithful. And it helped. May God grant us that we can be a part of what he's doing and be a blessing to many others. Let's just take a moment just to think. Maybe you want to bow your head, close your eyes. What's been going on? How's the time you're spending with God? Is it being profitable? Is it being practiced? Are we hearing from God? Is there something else that we need to be doing? And as I said those words, I came up with a few of my own. But God is grateful, full of grace. And may he grant us that today. And again, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you care and that you love us. And Lord, we're asking, we come together with open hearts here today. And Lord, we're asking with one prayer, Lord, lead us in a right way. Let us hear your voice, know your will. And Lord, give us the strength to provide that. Lord, we're thankful and we're grateful. Now, Lord, we do ask your blessing upon each one who has come this day. Lord, bless the homes, those who are on electronic device at home. Bless their homes, Lord. Lord, be with us, we pray, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.